God's people said? Amen. Fantastic. Really excited that Esther Alexander is speaking for the first time here at KXC. Many of you will know Ian and Esther. They were a part of 10, maybe 12 people that probably 7-8 years ago we got together and said, look, let's pray and dream about planting a church together. And that dream became a reality in February 2010, and almost 6 years later, here we are. I first saw Esther before getting to know her when I was about like 13 years old at Soul Survivor, this Christian worship festival, and she was doing BVs for Matt Redman. And I remember from a distance thinking, that person's like fully in love with Jesus. They seem to walk incredibly closely with God. And then a few years later, got to know Esther. And then she got married to Ian, and then years later they became incredibly good friends. And I was completely bang on that she does walk incredibly closely with God, and it's a privilege for us to learn from her tonight. So round of applause for Esther Alexander. And let's pray. She's had to prepare this over Christmas with three kids, like fueled on chocolate and sweets and presents. Wow, I don't know how you did it, but well done. So, Lord, we pray you'd come now and you'd fill Esther, anoint her afresh. Thank you for the call of God upon her life. And we believe that you've gifted her with a message from your word, and we want to open our hearts to it. So speak to us now. Your servants are listening. Amen.
Thanks, Pete. Well, Happy New Year. It's always... A strange time of the year, I find. I don't know about you. It's sort of a new pencil case type feeling. I have a similar feeling around September as well. I think it's all those years of school and sort of a bit of apprehension mixed with a bit of excitement, mixed with a bit of what have I been doing for the last year. But anyway, Happy New Year. As I look back over the last year, I think a favourite moment for me at KXC was... going to visit the new building that we have secured, a couple of doors up the road, CSV. And a few of us went around there and just sort of went up and down the stairs in the dark. It was quite eerie, actually. But a real amazing sense of excitement about what God has in store for us as a church in the year ahead. In September, some of us from... here, some of the leaders from KXC went away for a weekend away to go and hang out and hear from God. And we were singing that song, Spirit Break Out, while we were there, and I was kind of all in. Singing, you know, just sort of thinking about the walls that you kind of see as you walk around King's Cross. It's not difficult to see the things that have defined this area, things like prostitution, you know, gang violence, poverty, you know, all of those things. And in my heart, I was like, Lord, I just want to see the walls, really want to see these walls come down, really want to, longing to see change. And I had a really strange picture. I had a picture of like the floor plan of a house with a lot of walls in place, as you would imagine on a floor plan of a house. And I felt like God was saying, you know what, Esther, you've got a lot of walls in your heart. This picture that I'm giving you is almost like a picture of your heart. And there are a lot of walls that are defining you right now. And they're walls that are called perfectionism, fear, addiction. And you know what, I really want to see the walls in King's Cross come down too, Esther, but I really, really want to see the walls come down in your heart, first of all, because until the walls come down in you, the walls can't come down in King's Cross. And I was a bit like, wow, ouch, that hurt. I quite like open plan living. If any of you have been to my house, I like no walls. And it was a bit of a shock, to be honest, but I knew that God was speaking, and not for one second in that moment did I think, oh gosh, God hates me. There was none of that. It was genuinely, I just felt like God say, it was just a real sense of love, actually, as he sort of said, you know what, this is what I'm seeing, Esther, and I really, really want to see you be free. I want to see your life defined by freedom and my love and not by all these walls that you have built up over your life to protect you. So kind of following that, you know, I don't have much time. I'm a full-time mum to three kids, as Pete said. But I really felt like, well, who talks about walls in the Bible? Where do we go? And found myself having a look at Joshua 6, which is the story, as we all know, of the fall of Jericho. And I am not a Bible scholar. I am a mother. I have spent everything that I know about God over the last 8 years has been taught to me through wiping bottoms, changing nappies, feeding and clothing through perpetually needy people. So if you want any kind of, if you have any deep theological questions, please go to Pete afterwards, because I am not that person. So what I share with you, I share as kind of my walk, my journey over these last sort of few months, actually, since God just started chatting to me about this. So I'm going to read this from Joshua 6. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in or out. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town seven times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear, I should have worn my glasses, I'm so sorry. That's how old I am. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. So Joshua called together the priests and said, take up the ark of the Lord's covenant and assign seven priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people, march around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord. Sorry. Oh dear. After Joshua spoke to the people, the seven priests with the ram's horn started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched. And the ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priests with the horns, and some behind the ark, with the priests continually blowing the horns. Do not shout. Do not even talk, Joshua commanded. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout. So the ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests again carried the ark of the Lord. The seven priests with the ram's horns marched in front of the ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Again, the armed men marched both in front of the priests with the horns and behind the ark of the Lord. All this time, the priests were blowing their horns. On the second day, they again marched around the town and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn, marched around the town as they had done before. But this time, they went around the town seven times. The seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Everything made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. Such a great story. Love that dream. I really enjoy it. When we get, Ethan has this Bible, this action Bible, and when we get to do Jericho, I do really enjoy it. Anyway, so here we go. Some thoughts on how we see walls come down. If the floor plan of our heart looks like the floor plan of a house, and God wants to bring us freedom from the things that have defined us, how does that come about, and what can we learn from Jericho? Well, the first thing I think I notice is that these walls come down with worship. This whole sort of massive cacophony of noise and praise and worship and the ark of the Lord, which signifies God's presence, that is when the walls come down, when we're in worship and when we're immersed in the presence of God, resting in God's presence. Sports professionals talk about a fitness reserve, apparently, that's laid down in our youth. And if we have done a great deal of exercise when we're young, then when we hit our sort of 30s or 40s and life gets busy and we're either working like dogs at a job or we've got lots of children or whatever else is going on, we can afford to take a bit of time off because our bodies have this fitness reserve, we're able to kind of handle it before we hopefully eventually are able to want some more exercise. And I think it's really, really similar with spending time with God. And if there was one thing that I could ever urge you to do at this point in the year, it would be as that beautiful word that Philippa had about being kind of soaked in God's presence. I would really encourage us, as we want to invite more of God into our lives and see the change come, the place that's going to happen is in his presence while we spend time worshipping him and adoring him for who he is. Over the last 8 years or so, my times with God have been very sporadic. So I sort of look forward to and am now enjoying more time with God. So, but don't, you know, it's not a big deal. Don't like stress out about it. But it's a really, just a few minutes each day makes every bit of difference. Every tiny minute makes a huge, huge difference. Since September, all of my kids have been not at home during the day. And I have been really trying to get a bit more time with God. And even Ian, my husband, has noticed a difference. So if he can see it, it must be happening. The second thing that I see in this story is that walls come down in community. God did not ask Joshua to do this on his own. He didn't say, look, mate, go out there as the Lone Ranger and walk around those walls and, you know, don't just go it alone, you know. That's not what God said. God sent Joshua with his fighting men, with people that he'd done life with for a really, really long time. They'd been through good times together. They'd been through bad times together. And they were going to go through this experience of Jericho together. You cannot put a sort of price on community and the power, underestimate the power of doing life in community. The Bible says that the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for those he can devour. And I'm sure you have seen many a time the David Attenborough films where you've got the kind of herd of wildebeest and they're all together and then the sort of the camera pans across and there's this lone animal sort of limping desperately and then the camera goes back to the lion and then kaboom, you know, the whole thing unfolds and this animal is taken out because it's on the edge of its community, it's on the edge of the pack. And as Christians, we are safest in community. We are able to function at our best in community. It doesn't surprise me that God's put us in families. It says in the Psalms that he puts the lonely in families. And families are the very first sort of experience that we have of communities. Now, for some of us, our family life is wonderful. And for some of us, our family life has been horrendous. But that sense when things are functioning well and we are doing life alongside others, it's incredibly powerful. But don't be mistaken. The enemy will do anything he can to keep you away. Absolutely anything. He'll come at you with shame, with making you feel like you're not worthy of being in friendships. Or he'll make you feel like you're not as good as them or whatever else it is. And I just really encourage you, don't back away from community and friendship. I'm in a prayer triplet and I absolutely love it. I genuinely know that I cannot do the weeks without meeting up. We don't meet up every week. We meet up probably maybe once a month on a regular basis. But that for me, those are two people who know me inside out, who I can share the joys and the absolute nightmares of my life with, who I know will stand with me like those fighting men did with Joshua and say, come on, we're doing this together. You're not on your own. We can see what God's doing. We're with you all the way. So, yeah, get in a hub. I have noticed over my life that some walls in our lives, some of these changes, some of these things that God wants to do, sometimes it happens really quick. And, you sort of find yourself walking in freedom really quickly. I have to say those moments for me have been few and far between. I take a huge amount of confidence and comfort from the fact that Joshua went round these walls, well, I think about 49 times. I'm not a mathematician, but he did it once a day and then he did it 7 times. So it was a lot of times going round, which for me is a little bit like knits. Nothing can prepare you as a parent for the horrendous moment when you discover that there are creeping, crawling nasties in your little darling's hair. They are the most revolting, disgusting things you will ever have the misfortune to find in your child's hair. But you know what? The secret to getting rid of nits, which I found out, my children had never had nits. And if I'm honest, I had been slightly smug about that. For a number of years, I'd sort of been like, well, you know, I do spray on this leave-in conditioner. And I think that that has been the route to a nit-free house. And then, boom, we got them, I don't know, at the end of last summer. And it was awful. I was just like, how the dickens do you get rid of these things? Like, they go, and then they're back again. It's like, oh! Anyway, I looked it up on the internet and found that the key is repeated application. You can't, there are no shortcuts with nits. You just got to keep hammering them like every 14 days. And then eventually you're clear. And it is like that in life, isn't it? Sometimes we're aware of things that we know that God's touching on and we know that God's wanting to bring change to. But you feel like you're just going round and round and round and it's so flipping annoying. And that's another reason why we need other people in our lives with us as we go around these walls. For me, in my family, I spoke a second ago about family, but I grew up in a Christian house, which was, a privilege to grow up in a Christian family. And everything from the outside looked very, very rosy. We were very functional. We were very nice children, very sort of happy looking from the outside. But actually, on the inside, it was a complete nightmare. I had a very difficult relationship with my sister for a number of years. She had a horrendous relationship with my mother and my father. By about the age of 11, I remember my dad just going, I don't really know what to do anymore. I'm kind of at the end of my rope. This just don't really know what to do. And this was a sort of time, I guess, I'm very old, so this was probably like mid-80s, maybe late 80s. And people were just starting to get into like counselling, you know, Christian counselling. And my dad, God bless him, said, right, well, we're just going to go. We just need to go for counselling as a family, which we did. And it was good. It was helpful. We made some changes. There were some good practical things that we could bring into change. And God did definitely move in that time. But, you know, as you go through life, you sort of find that the pain gets hit on in different ways. Different things kind of trigger it. You're like back there again. You're like, oh, hold on a minute. To the point where about 18 months ago, we went to my dad's house for his birthday. My whole family, my sister, her kids, her husband, me, my kids, etc. We're all there. And whilst we're there, we have this absolute massive, over something ridiculous as it always is, massive, massive row. And it could have just been like rewound like 20 years and straight back home. It was absolutely awful. My dad had his head in his hands in tears in my parents' bedroom. My sister was downstairs in tears. And thank God the kids were out in the garden completely oblivious to the whole thing. And honestly, the panic and the just, oh, it was horrible. Absolutely horrible. And we left that weekend. And I just said to God, I am so sick of this. Like, I feel like we've done this. I feel like we did the family counseling. I feel like I've pursued healing on this stuff. But why? Why does this keep happening? Anyway, about 6 weeks later, I was still like really low, really, really low. And B and I were walking back from school together. We'd taken the kids to school. And I was in tears. I was just like, B, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And she was very sweet. She just said, oh, do you know what? I've just got this number of this lady who's a counsellor. Do you think you might like to go and see her? Would you like her number? And I was like, yes, like anything, please. Anyway, what ensued was a further sort of year of me having some more chats with this lady, which was amazing, and pursuing that kind of healing. And actually, miraculously, my parents and my sister sort of did a bit of a effort as well. And do you know what? We sat last week on Boxing Day, everybody in my house, we had dinner together. We like played some games. Nobody had an argument. Nobody ran out crying. It was honestly the best Christmas that I can ever, ever recall with my family all in one room or all in one space together. So I just tell you that story to say, you know, sometimes this stuff does just take a long time and a lot of work, but God can do it. Breakthrough is possible. He is the God of the impossible. He is able to do more than all that we can ask or imagine. And I stand here, sort of our Boxing Day was a real testament to that. So don't feel, discouraged, I guess, that things are taking a while. If God's shown you that he's working and he's doing something in you, stick with it, stay with it, take courage. Walls come down when we're obedient. I'm not far away now, just so you know. Walls come down when we're obedient to God. I love it that Joshua had his game plan from God, and he was just doing really what God asked him to do. He was obedient to God to the letter. I mean, really to the letter he was, you know, all these ram's horns and people in front and people behind and all that malarkey. But he listened to God for the plan, like, God, how are you going to do this in me? How, you know, when I think about me, I just think, what's the game plan here, Lord? Would you please just show me how we're going to do that? And I, again, just want to encourage you, God can, he'll tell you. He'll tell you. He's longing to pour his love out on you. He's longing for you to walk in that wide open space. And as we come to him as his kids and say, Dad, do you know what? What am I meant to be doing here? He will speak. And then it's just down to us to do what he's asking us to do, which sounds so simple, doesn't it? If only it was. No, but seriously, I think that is just a really, really key. Get the game plan. Stick with the game plan. I think it must have been horrible for Joshua and his guys as he walked around that city day after day after day. The people in Jericho, they must have been hanging over the walls. What the hell do you think you're doing, you bunch of losers? Do you know what I mean? Like all of that stuff, they must have been going, oh God, please, please tell me I'm doing the right thing, please. It must have been horrible, but they kept walking around. And when we try and do our bit, and that's what I love about God, we only have to do the tiniest, tiniest little bit, and he will make up all of the rest. But as we do our little bit, God will do the big bit. Which brings me to my final point. You'll all be relieved to know that ultimately walls come down because God's doing it. I can't change myself, really. I mean, that's the worst thing about New Year, right? We're all sold this absolute lie that if we write down a few good intentions that we can be fitter, be healthier, you know, cut out sugar, whatever it is, you know, stop drinking wine. And it comes down to us, and it's just so, you know, ooh. Gosh, I can't do this. You get to 48 hours in. I haven't managed any of mine yet, so, you know, don't worry about it. But that's because we need God to do this stuff in us. We find freedom because God is doing it. That's what he's here for. That's what we were talking about the other week about Jesus coming as a baby. He's here to lead us to this wide open space. Nothing is impossible with him. And you know what? With Jericho, unless God had done it, the walls wouldn't have come down, right? That would have just been a really disappointing story in the middle of the Bible where they all walk around and it didn't happen. But God does do it. God is doing it. And it only happens because he's doing it. So as we look 2016 full in the face, I just want to encourage you that in Jesus we do have a God who is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. He is able to do the impossible. And there would be no better thing to come into this start of this year to just be saying, do you know what, God, I just want a bit more of you. I just really want, like we were just doing earlier, you know, when Pete was saying about the love of God, like let's just position ourselves, let's just do that. And just say, God, you just show me the floor plan. Would you show me what you're doing? Give me some clues here. And his love, he just loves us so much. He loves you so much that he will not leave you. He will not leave you with your battles, your walls, your addictions. He won't leave me with all of mine. And I've got a list as long as my flipping arm. But he is longing to see us so that we're not defined by our pain and all of that, but we're defined by his love and his freedom. Amen.